Welcome to the Audible Ecstasy Podcast. Each week we sit around and discuss the music from our past. Sometimes we agree.
I call it iconic. It's a 10. That riff is it's incredible.
Clearly a 10. This is one of the most iconic songs of the 80s.
Iconic from start to finish.
And sometimes we disagree.
The song sounds like something you might hear at your aunt's funeral.
The absolute worst lyrics ever.
With the juvenile flush on that one, I'm not dealing with that. I'm not dealing with that crap.
Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
All right, we are back with another Audible Ecstasy podcast, and this week we are reviewing the 1982 release from the great Judas Priest, Anthony's pick, Screaming for Vengeance. Guys, y'all ready to do this?
Ready, Anthony. You get a do-over today. Let's hear your your tagline.
Nobody gets to know that we just had a big snafu, right? So we're trying to keep it wraps. Yeah. But it is a funny story that we're talking about Big Brother and Electric Eye and Jimmy's computer crashes.
My power just basically just flashes in my house. It's crazy.
And then I can hear him. He can't hear me. And Chris can't hear me, but I can hear. It's so weird. It's like somebody's ghost in the machine. So
it was awesome.
My tagline is I got a fever for the Audible Ecstasy podcast. That's the one I came up with. So
it's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. And guys, let's get this thing started again with track. It's actually track number two, but this album starts out with an introduction to track number two. The first track is actually The Hellion, which is a nice 40-second song intro for the song we're getting ready to hear. It's called Electric Eye. Chris, hit it. So, from the start, we know this album is going to be something special. This is it goes from that Hellion intro, which is magnificent, and then it goes into this fast-paced rocker, which is known as Electric Eye. I mean, this song celebrates the range of Halford's vocals. Very catchy. This is absolutely a staple in the Judas Priest live show for many, many years because it's just simply that good. The riff itself makes you want to bang your head. And this one will absolutely pass the crank test. Guys, I know that I'm going to be a little critical because I know this album. It's been part of my life for 40 years almost. So that's insane.
It's insane.
8.5. I think it's a great way to start this record. Chris, what are your thoughts on Electric Eye and Hellion?
Yeah, I echo a lot of your sentiments with this. This is, as you guys know, I didn't know this album at all, really, other than You Got Another Thing Coming, obviously. I think everybody knows that song. But yeah, this fresh listen to me, and this is a great way to start this album, honestly. Halford's vocals just pop off this track. The guitar solo is fantastic, and it's a chorus that does get stuck in your head. I mean, I can sing this thing. I maybe listened to this thing 5 times over the past couple of weeks. Maybe 6. I don't know. It's right in there somewhere. And I can already sing the chorus to this one. I mean, it's in your head. It gets stuck, easy to sing along to. I think it's an outstanding way to start the album. I gave it a 9.
Awesome. Anthony, what are your thoughts on Hellion and Electric Eye?
Songfacts.com, once again. Electric Eye wasn't released as a single, but still garnered airplay on rock radio in America, where Judas Priest were making inroads thanks to another Screaming for Vengeance track, You've Got Another Thing Coming. Electric Eye became a live favorite, played at most of their shows throughout their career, which is kind of what Jimmy had said. The Hellion, it's a great intro, full of big guitars and banging drums. I do like it a lot, but it seems like it's almost too short to be an intro, like I said before. You know, 40, it seems like when you get to be about a minute, that's a good intro. To me, below a minute, it's like, just make it part of the song.
I agree with you, man. It's amazing.
You know, Electric Eye, man, you know, I'm digging the way it ebbs and flows, and I'm not going to talk much about Big Brother this time because I don't want to get everybody
don't
in
do
trouble
it.
Again.
Don't do it.
But it is funny how if it happens again, I'm off. I'm unplugging every.
Will we record this next week?
I'm unplugging every smart device in my home and are getting sold today. I promise you. But it is funny how that all relates. You know, the 80s and today kind of relate with technology. Like we were talking before, how the big technology boom in the 80s, which makes sense. Beyond that, you know, this is a killer tune, great guitar solo, solid vocals, band is on point, no issues, no complaints. And, you know, like I was saying before, Rob, what I've heard, he's never had a vocal trainer or nothing. He just basically picked up a mic, started singing, and he was good to go. So that's how talented Rob Halford is and why he is the metal god. So,
awesome. Yeah. Great song too.
Yeah, anyways, it's a 9. It's outstanding. It's one of their best, I think, personally. It could almost be iconic. I mean, it's up there with some of their big songs.
I struggle with doing a 9 on this one, too. But I just, like I said, I was trying to be a little critical on this one because I do know this album like the back of my hand. And I want to be fair about it.
Yeah, if you enjoy it, enjoy it.
Criticism.
For those listening at home, some of us try to be critical.
Well, keep in mind, too, it doesn't have to be iconic. It's perfection. That's what it means now. So
you're right. You're absolutely right. And we'll get to that later. All right, let's move us up to track number 3. It's called Riding the Wind. Chris. Riding the Wind. So this is probably where the contrary will, we will probably disagree on this one. Maybe, I don't know. This is how I'm going to start. I think this song is a sleeper on this album. I absolutely love it. I think it's very catchy. It rocks from start to finish. Another showcase of Halford's vocal gymnastics. I mean, the guy absolutely can belt it out. I love the drum intro and the guitar riff that kicks it in. I think this is a great performance vocally and instrumentally. And extremely catchy. Once again, another crank test pass on my end. I'm at 8.5. That's 2 in a row, 8.5. And that's high praise, I think. Like I said, it's my sleeper on this album, and I love it. Chris, what did you think about Riding the Wind?
So you expect us to disagree with that? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know, man, because I know that it's following iconic one of their most well-known songs. And this one right here is not as well-known as far as live performances. So, you know, okay. I'll be curious to see what y'all thought of this one.
A lot of the same notes you had. I love that drum intro. I felt like the rhythm section really pushes the song. Great riffs. Very much in the pocket. Blazing guitar solo. Just a rocking tune. No complaints at all. I gave it an 8, so I'm kind of right in there.
Close. You're right there. Anthony, what did you think about Riding the Wind?
Yeah, man. I love the drums. I'm glad you captured that. It kicked this thing off.
And
the guitar, it's just a powerhouse. You know, just want to make sure you grab the volume knob and just spin it till it stops, you know.
Rob's is a crank test, basically.
Definitely. Rob's in full Halford mode. The band is loud and bombastic, and There's a blistering guitar solo by Glenn in the middle of this one, too. That I think it's Glenn, right? Glenn Tipton, maybe the guitarist, Jimmy?
Mm-hmm. KK Downing and Glenn Tipton, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, what's not to like about it, man? It cranks from start to finish. It's an 8. It's an excellent for me. So I could almost go to 9 on this one after hearing it again this morning. It's like, eh, maybe I went a little low on that one.
No, dude, I think we're right in line. That's perfect. That is great. All right. Well, let's move us up to track number 4, Bloodstone. Chris. Bloodstone. So we're going from Electric Eye to Ride in the Wind to Bloodstone. I think this one's a classy tune. It opens up with a nice guitar riff. It's slow and intricate, and then it slowly builds into that mid-paced rocker that Priest can absolutely own when it comes to this style of music. Been a fan of this song for a very long time. I love Rob's vocal delivery on this. And we got to give some props to Ian Hill's bass work on this, because that bass work is what gets your head bobbing. And honestly, it's very, very pleasing to the ears. I mean, not only that, but Rob's vocal style can honestly follow the guitar as that guy, as KK and Glenn go up the fretboard. The higher it gets, the higher Rob can sing. So, I mean, it's amazing how he can do that and still, you know, just, he still does it to this day is what's insane. Man's like 70 years old, but nonetheless, fantastic song. I think it's excellent. I'm at an 8. Chris, what'd you think about Bloodstone?
Yeah, man, you're right about the rhythm section yet again. But the bass is very prominent, but the drums too, man. It's just like they stand out on this track to me, really. I think it's just another one cranked to 10, man, and just cruise around. You're not going to look stupid cranking this, you know. It's just a fantastic.
It's gonna look
song.
Like you're old. That's all.
Well, probably, but we are old, so whatever.
Exactly. Fine. I take it. What comes with it?
Yeah, it's very much in the pocket kind of song. Again, Rob sounds awesome. It almost sounds like a. He kind of reminds you a bit of old Bruce Dickinson, doesn't he? With some of those vocals that he can just
absolutely.
Almost like a,
they
like a they human siren or something. Pool, you guys,
human air raid siren.
Air raid siren. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I gave it excellent as well. So.
Heck yeah. Anthony, what'd you think about Bloodstone?
Hold on, I gotta get my notes back up.
You're good, man.
I had one of those mornings this morning. It's another ripping intro. I love the guitar that leads this song in, followed up by those pounding drums, bombastic drums, I guess you could say. It's good stuff, man. I love Rob's vocals, love the chorus, the way this song turns into a gallop during that chorus. Yeah. You know, it kind of goes up into that gallop, but it's just so good. So many things to like and enjoy. This has been a favorite of mine by them for a bit. It's a 9. It's outstanding for me. So,
oh wow, fantastic.
I disagree, man. I knew you'd like it with that bass that was so prominent.
I've always loved the way this song. It reminds me of that one movie. It's not called Blood Species. Every time I hear this song, I think of that one movie. It's like a old school vampire movie from the 90s. I forgot the name of it. Maybe like 4 of them. Every time I hear this song, I think of that movie for some reason. Like Bloodstone or something's the name of the movie, something like that. I can't remember. But
wow.
Anyways, sidebar.
sidebar. All right, let's
Jimmy,
go ahead.
Up next.
Move forward to track. Yep, number 5. Here we go. It is Take These Chains, Chris.
Fireball, loving you so.
All right. So Take These Chains is the first song that I'm really not the biggest fan of on this record. It's a bit of a slowdown from the first part of this album. You know, that you were talking three songs that absolutely are just incredible. And this one right here just doesn't seem like it holds up to the rest of the previous three that we've heard. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad by no means. It's a good tune to my ears, but it's just not as great as what we've heard. And you kind of get spoiled hearing those first three songs. You're like, oh my God, this is something becoming. And then this comes in, you're like, well, I get it. You know, they can't all be dingers. You know what I mean? It's something that comes along with a record. And I will say this, it's got a catchy chorus and it is easy to sing along with. You know, it's something you can get into, but I don't think it's a standout track. I do think it's very good. Now, although I may be talking down, I gave it a 6. Chris, what'd you think about Take These Chains?
Still in all my notes, man. It's crazy.
Chris's yeah. Flush of the Week.
Oh, wow.
Come on.
I didn't expect this one to be the flush. I'm just going to be honest with y'all.
Here's amazing. My notes. Man, it's like you were reading my notes when you. Okay. Not bad. Welcome. Probably a step down from the first three. Feels a little generic. You didn't say that. It doesn't feel like Priest though, man. You know what I mean? It feels more like.
Sounds like.
And I see this was a single. That shocks me. There's two singles on this album.
It's a crowd pleaser, dude.
It's kind of more like their old sound from the 70s, though, isn't it? What do you think so?
I would agree.
70 sound, not their
80s. I would agree. It's more of a softer.
Well, what I've heard from them, it doesn't sound like them. It feels like it's more rocking stuff from these guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But. I don't know. I think it's very good as well. And if, honestly, if it was a different band, I might have given a higher score. But certain bands you just expect more out of, you know. I'm not sure why this is a single. Something like Devil's Child wasn't. I don't know, man. That kind of blows my mind. But yeah, it's a 6. It is my lowest score of the night. So.
Oh wow,
a 6
okay.
is still a very good, right?
It's still very good.
Yeah, it's very good. Yep.
But it's his lowest. So, yeah.
You know, hey, if very good's the flush, then there you go. You know,
it says a lot. Yeah. All right, Anthony, what do you think about Take These Chains?
Back to the last conversation. The movie was called Subspecies.
I haven't seen those. Yeah.
I've seen a couple of those. They're really good. Actually, the first one's really good. And the second movie is called Bloodstone Subspecies 2. So I think it's why it keeps coming into my head every time I hear it. Yeah. So, yeah, Subspecies was a really good, like, low-budget horror movie from early 90s. So. I think it's like we used to be on Shudder. What's that?
Is it a vampire movie?
Yeah, yeah. I'm big into vampire movies, so I've seen a lot of them. Anyways, take these chains off and put the podcast back on the right track. See how I did that? Nice transition.
I like it.
There you go.
I like
it. You know, I enjoy the soft ballady sort of intro, nice lead in before the hammer drops and the band is off and running. It's a solid tune. I do like the ebbs and flows, the way it moves and grooves. Band, yeah, sounds great again, no issues, but this is probably my lowest two on the album. I think it's a 7. I think it's great, but I definitely do think it's a little bit of a step down from the other ones. This would have come out maybe.
I'm surprised it was the single, too. I mean, like.
I am absolutely. How do you release this and not release Electric Eye? Or how do you release this and not release at least, I don't know, Bloodstone? I mean, good Lord.
But I mean, this is. Throwback to their 70s kind of sound. So maybe that's another reason why it stands out so much.
It probably is more radio friendly too, I guess.
It is. I'm sure it is. Yeah.
Compared to the next one, which is a Hellraiser song. So
what?
Pain and Pleasure, right?
All right. Yeah, we're about to get into it. Here we go. Track number 6, Pain and Pleasure.
Oh,
Can't you just picture Rob Halford being tied with a leash pulled around a room when you listen to
this? We're going to get into that right now. All right. Pain and Pleasure. Nice, slow guitar intro, but to my ears, the song never really delivers. This would be my flesh, Chris. This would be my flesh if I were going to flesh one. I think the song is simply, it's a good song. I don't know. Nothing more on that. I don't even want to think about what this lyrical content's about, knowing Rob's future, because this was pre-coming out for him. And I know a lot of his stuff was lyrically hidden for years, and we all accepted that as a Judas Priest fan, so it's no big deal. I get it. This song was like, this is a pretty famous song, believe it or not, with fans. I just never have liked it. And, I say it's skippable, and it's because it's the last song on the first side of the cassette.
And my heart, man, you're killing my heart over here this morning, Jimmy.
In my ears, it's not as great as what we've heard before, and it's not as great as what's coming after. I'm at a 5. I think it's good.
Wow.
And this is my lowest score, and like I said, I was being critical, but I've never liked this song from the first listen back in late 82, early 83 when I first got this cassette. So you
don't like Pain and Pleasure then, huh?
Not really. No, I'm out. All right, Chris, what'd you think about Pain and Pleasure?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, man. It's my sleeper of the night. I love that. There's a nasty riff, man.
I know fans love it.
That riff is so nasty. And it almost has like Eddie Van Halen like tone to it, man. I mean, the tone is awesome. And it's weird. I think Rob almost sounds like Ozzy a little bit when he sings on this one, too. I can actually hear that.
It's
a lot of things going on, but, man, it's just a rocking, grooving song, man. I think, like I said, I think it's my sleeper of the night.
Well, that's... I knew it was going to be
I love the way the guitar just pops off that track, too. That's an 8 for me. I think it's excellent. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I know Anthony's going to
actually,
like
I think
it.
It's one of the better songs right in the middle of the album there, personally.
Well, that's fantastic, man. I'm glad y'all... Like I said, it just never has reverberated with me. So, Anthony, talk to us.
So, should I lead in with, we'll tear your soul apart?
Absolutely, tear it apart.
Right?
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Anyways, man, Pain and Pleasure. Digging that nasty guitar intro before the song dives into this groovy, bluesy kind of metal jam. It's kind of like blues and metal had a baby.
It's really like a slow-paced rocker. Yeah, dude.
It's good stuff. Damn. Digging that. Digging what Priest is putting down, man. This is another big favorite of mine. I've always liked this one. I love the chorus. Super catchy. You just want to shout out that pain when it hits that pain every time you hear it. Everything works, man. It's a 9. It's outstanding for me.
Oh, wow.
Digging this
like
one,
I said,
man.
Guys, I knew it, and I knew you guys. Well, I definitely knew Anthony liked this one. Chris, I figured you'd be okay with it. I just never liked it. It's just me.
You just can't get into your freak side sometime, I guess.
It is. Oh, trust me, because I was looking this thing up, like, I guess after Anthony picked this thing, I was kind of going through some of the stuff on this record. I was like, I never really liked this. I wonder how this is standing amongst the fans. I was like, holy crap.
Did you check the...
It's like, I was looking at Reddits. I was like, oh my God.
Did you check the concert stats at all? I was curious what it was.
I did not look to see if this was a live staple or not. I know what they played throughout the 90s and the 2000s, or for the most part. And like I said, on this record, there's three absolute, they used to open with the Hellion and going right into Electric Eye. So
yeah,
that was kind of cool. But no, dude. And I'm sure it's a staple. It's just my opinion, that's all. And it didn't really affect the rating too much on this album. So, all right. Flip It, Sing Over, side 2, track number 7, Screaming for Vengeance. Chris? We'll be right back. Screaming for Vengeance. Now we're back to rocking and the pace is picked back up. They flip this thing over and decide to dominate the second side of this record, and they're starting off strong. I think it's got a nice intricate riff in it, higher pitched vocals. It's not his best vocals, but it's by far in my ears better than the previous two tracks. I think the chorus is catchy, and that scream that appears during the second delivery of the chorus is great. Just like I rate this song, I think the song is great. I'm at a 7. Chris, what do you think about Screaming for Vengeance
at a 7?
Dude, I think it's a 7. I think it's a great song.
You don't think this is one of the greatest metal songs of all time?
No.
Don't you think it'd be on one of the greatest metal lists of all time?
It might be, but in my ears, it's a great song. I'm just saying it's a great song.
Okay, I was just surprised. I thought this one would score higher for you, Jimmy.
Anthony views 7 as an insult.
No. I gave this one a 10. I think this is Priest.
Great. I think you this gave is this a 10?
Personally, I think this is Priest perfection. I think it's one of the greatest metal songs of all time. I mean, honestly, it's up there with some of the big metal songs of all time in my mind, Screaming for Vengeance.
Dude, nothing wrong with that. I just think the next
song. You're welcome to just go ahead and finish off your review, and then I'll go after you.
I've got a long little thing I wanted to talk about on this song that I found that's pretty interesting. But I was just surprised. I really thought this would slam for Jimmy on this one, so to speak.
I think it is a great song. It doesn't compare to the next song. That's all. And the next song, we all know, you know. But yeah, right. No. I didn't mean to shock y'all. Dang.
I think, honestly, man, when I look at all-time metal songs, I really feel like this is up there with the Run to the Hills and all that kind of stuff. Those kind of songs, man. It's huge. So I don't know. But anyways, just a little surprised.
Interesting.
Finished, Chris.
I haven't started yet.
Sorry, man. I was kind of flipping through my notes, kind of getting ready for my part, and I heard 7. I was like, what? So it's this sort of.
Well, surprise. I hate to shock you, but I gave it a 7 as well.
I guess maybe I'm here. Okay.
But that said, okay, here's my notes. This is kind of like when I hear these vocals, this is kind of what I expect out of Judas Priest. When I think of Priest, this is what I think of. Kind of blazing, rocking songs with kind of high-pitched vocals that are basically impossible to understand. I mean, it's just like, you know, that kind of stuff going on. I don't even know what he's saying, honestly. But it's expected because, I mean, that's the kind of music this is, really. But it is a blazing rocker. It's a title track, so, you know, they probably thought a lot of it to name the album after this. You know, I'm looking at Setlist FM. Actually, Jimmy, where he asked about the previous song, I was trying to find it on their
It's not. Plays. I haven't played it.
Oh, really?
I was looking it up. But I haven't.
Yeah, I was just like, it's not on this list at all.
I did not know that guy. And I tell you what, it is very highly revered as a great song. Wow.
I'm trying to find Screaming for Vengeance on here. I don't really see it. Oh, it's down at number 42. Only 135 plays.
I'm just
probably on that tour and one after or something. I don't know. Wow. But yeah, I think it's a great song. That's not an insult, man. It's like, to me,
I didn't mean to insult it either. I think it's a great tune.
I prefer more like groove-driven songs that you can understand the lyrics, I guess. But I get it, man. He comes in like that air raid, man, on this. I mean, he absolutely does. So, and it'd be a rocker in concert. I mean, obviously, you'd be like banging your head the whole time, cranking. You know, I mean, it's definitely a 7. It's a great song, yeah.
That's cool. All right, Anthony, talk to us. I know, for sure. We know you love it, brother. Bring it on.
Well, it's not that I just love it. I've just always put this song in very high, you know, not Mount Rushmore of songs. You know, that's probably held for Master Puppets and some of those songs. But I've always viewed this as one of the all-time great metal songs, you know, that came out of the 80s. But maybe I'm wrong. I mean, they haven't played it as much in concert as I thought they had played it. And, you know. So I don't know if y'all can find anything on Great List of metal songs, see if it's on it or not, but maybe it's my bad.
No, dude, it is a great song, Anthony. I'm not taking anything away from this song at all, but I just think it does not compare into the next one. And I guess it's because the next one is the one that really broke them in the United States. Just so you know, this next song is what broke them in the United States. So
they break this late in their career? I thought something
from, absolutely. Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
Breaking the Law would have broken them over here, wouldn't it?
That was their European masterpiece. When they came to the United States, this right here is what turned them into headliners.
This is
massive in the United States.
You're talking about You've Got Another Thing Coming, right? The next one?
Oh, yeah.
Which is funny. It has a throwback 70s sound. That's one of the more throwback 70s sound, which is funny that it broke him in the 80s when he had more of a 70s sound.
Well, this is 82 now. You got to remember, they're early 82. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's not too far out.
Anyways, man, I had a long thing I was going to read here about from loudersound.com about this song, about this album.
Yeah.
My voice, I wish it felt better this morning. It said, still, Judas Priest weren't about to let a setback stop them from taking their much-deserved place in the sun. And in early 1982, they once again set out for Ibiza to make what would become their eighth album, Screaming for Vengeance. While the island hadn't yet earned its reputation as the party capital of Europe, Judas Priest were about to give it a glimpse of the future. This was the 80s, after all, and sex, drugs, and rock and roll wasn't just a mantra, it was near mandatory. And he goes on to say, oh, it was about the same for us as in every other camp. Where do you think Motley Crue got their ideas from? Ian says with a devious cackle. We killed several cars and a couple of motorcycles as well. How we got through that record, I don't know. Rob says disbelievingly. We were dancing with death. I went into town every night getting absolutely effing bladdered. I guess it means drunk in British slang. Ian drove a rental car into the pond out the front of the studio at 4 o'clock in the morning, waking everybody up. With the band often spending the whole night partying, actual work in the studio was sporadic, usually starting in the brief windows between the band members waking up and deciding to hit local clubs Pacha and Coup again. Even producer Tom Allen wasn't exempt from the debauchery. He said, I have vague memories of Tom going down a chute into a foam bath at 3 o'clock in the morning, Rob muses. It's well known after midnight things get a bit messy. So, is this talking about some of their, this article I found, loudersound.com. Because like I said, Screaming for Vengeance, when I saw there was no song facts on it, no Wikipedia on it, I was kind of surprised. I thought it was a, like I said, I thought it was a bigger song. So
right.
It's kind of messed with my head a little bit. But I found this and I thought it was interesting, just about all they went through making the record. And it sounded like it was just nonstop party. It's a lucky you got a track down, basically. So,
In your defense, Anthony, I can see why you feel like this is that, because it does kind of lend itself to that kind of feeling of a song, you know. It feels kind of like something Maiden would have done, or like it just has that real
iconic, like high pitched
kind of, yeah. I mean, it feels kind of like, and it is a title track, so I can kind of see why you felt that way, man.
I mean, that's why my note started, is that one of the greatest metal songs of all time. It's blistering fast, bombastic from start to finish. Rob is peak Halford in this one. Glass shattering vocals that are just amazing. Guitar, drums, chorus, etc. This song is a monster in the metal community, and like I said before, one of the greatest metal songs of all time. I think it's a 10. I do think it's iconic. I really do. I said iconic. I think it's perfection. I must have been tired with that. 10 perfection for this one. But I won't say it's one of my top Maiden songs. Maiden. Jeez, I can't get right somewhere. One of my top Priest songs. I do think it's one of their best from start to finish. So
I'm not, like I said, Anthony, I'm not knocking it. I absolutely love the song. I just think it's great. That's all. It is a fantastic tune. Fantastic.
I guess I'm just a little surprised. I thought it was going to be held in higher regard. So, but.
Oh, it is. And, you know, I'm sure it is in various communities. But you know what? It is a great tune. I do love it. But as far as what I think is quality, this next one right here absolutely makes me think. I hear it and we'll talk about it. Chris.
I'm taking
my God. All right. So obviously you got another thing coming. This is Priest perfection. Holy smokes. This is instantly recognizable from the very first second of this song. I would dare say this may be considered one of the greatest Priest songs of all time. It certainly has to be in the top five or top 10 for nearly any Judas Priest fan. Lyrically great, instrumentally great. Nothing in this tune is less than perfection. Vocally, Rob is on his highest of highs. And I'm sure he was really high. So, you know, I'll be honest with you. I've loved this song from the very beginning, from the video when I saw it back when I was 9 years old on MTV. I love the dual guitar solo. I love the trade-off between KK and Glenn. I think it is so, so good. It's absolutely worthy of a 10 in any metal fan's book. Chris, what do you think about it? You got another one coming.
Yeah, guys. I mean, you know, this is the only song I knew on this album going in. So,
oh yeah,
it is iconic, and it also is perfection. I think there's a nice groove to it. It definitely is something that you could pick up the lyrics pretty fast, sing along. It's just got a great kind of like metal vibe to it. Easy 10, man. I don't have much more to say on this one. This one was kind of a no brainer.
So great, yeah. So great. All right, Anthony.
It's definitely a rock anthem.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Songfacts.com. Judas Priest wrote this song at a session in Ibiza, Spain, and didn't think much of it. It wasn't until he came to Miami, and take a pause there, they go from recording in Ibiza to going to Miami. I mean, geez Louise, that'd be a fun trip alone right there. to continue work on the Screaming for Vengeance album, that they felt its power, especially as a driving song. Released as the first single from the album, it made a very strong showing in America, where the British rockers were trying to break through, which Jimmy said earlier. Many rock radio stations added it to their playlist, and the single sold well enough to earn the song placing on the Hot 100, peaking at number 67. It's the only Judas Priest song ever to hit that chart. So, big, big song, wow, man, for him. Wow. So, it's funny to think maybe that's the only, I mean, it's song facts. There could be other stuff out there, too, they didn't get right, but it's always funny how these songs, these iconic songs, just wind up like, should we put it on the album? Should we not? We need another song. Record something really quick. And it's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny how
last second, last seconds just turned into greatness so many times. So
that's
many
the way
times.
I think creativity works best like that sometimes. If you overthink it, it actually waters it down. It's not as good. Some of my best stuff has come just from a brief flourish. And I'm like, wow, you know, so.
Yeah. It turned into something fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you know, this is another monster tune and one that is even more iconic. You know, after talking about the last song, I know it is more iconic than the last one. And it works from the groove to the vocals to the singable chorus. I mean, what's not to like about it? It's 10, it's iconic and perfection from start to finish. It certainly passes the crank test and probably one of the more recognized songs by them. It's over 1,200 plays in concert by now. So,
oh, I'm sure. Wow.
It's 10 for me, too, so. Easy one.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's move this to track number 9. It's called Fever. Chris. So Fever, when you follow arguably one of the greatest songs in a band's career, it's very tough to absolutely make something that'll stand out. However, I do feel like even with the slow start, how the song goes into those arpeggiated guitar tones, notes, the solemn lyrical introduction by Rob, it moves into a slower paced rocker, and it's a good good song that's overshadowed by the previous track. And I do love this one. That's a nice tune to hear. And this second side is turning into be a very, very strong second side for an album. I think this one is somewhere between great and excellent. I'm at a 7.5. Chris, what'd you think about Fever?
Very good. Very similar notes to what I had, man. You know, there's something sonically there with those drums when it kicks in.
The bass and like the drums.
Going around on your just bounces around your head. Headphones. It's pretty good. And it's really one you need to listen to with headphones on.
That's what steal my notes, man.
Sorry about that. Jimmy always steals mine. So. Yeah, it's a very catchy song. Really good guitar solo. Again, rhythm section, top notch. These guys, rhythm section is fantastic with these guys. Yeah, I think it's between great and excellent as well. I gave it a 7.5.
Anthony, Fever.
Yeah, my notes lead off like this. Headphones are needed for this one. They do see something weird at the start where it bounces back and forth. It almost gives you a little vertigo occasionally when you're listening to it.
It does. Dude, I felt the same way. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of weird. But it's a neat trick, and I do like the way the song builds, the way it moves and grooves. It's another song here that's just got a nasty kind of bluesy groove to it that I really dig. I like that little echoing effect when you like the Fever in the chorus. It's pretty cool. I gave it an 8. I think it's excellent. So,
fantastic, man. All right, let's move to the album closer, number 10, Devil's Child. Chris. Devil's Child. This closing track is absolutely a pure rocker. It's one of the better songs on this album. I love everything about it. The vocals make you want to scream along. It's so easy to get into and rock out. I mean, this is honestly the best track they could have chosen to close this record out. And as I've discussed, I don't even know at this point, probably 100 times, the closing track on an album is the definitive choice for me that makes me want to go, I can't wait to hear this next one. Where I'm like, you know what? They could have done better. This is that song. I absolutely want to hear what's coming on Defenders of the Faith. And I tell you what, this absolutely rocks. I can't give it a perfection because it's not Priest perfection, but it's super darn good. I think it's somewhere between excellent and outstanding, and I'm at 8.5. Chris, what do you think about Devil's Child?
It's interesting that you brought up the way to close the album because on Spotify, they've got like another song after this. Actually, they've got like an extended edition, but they also have like the bass. So I was misled. I thought at first there's another song after this, which is not really very good. And I was like, what are they doing? Why didn't they just close it with Devil's Child? That's such a great song. And then you guys are like, well, that actually is a closer. It's like,
They got bonus edition happy.
They got happy. Well, you know what? That's what bands do. They get that money comes in because I know deep diehard
fans. Perfection, man. Just leave it alone. Don't do that. Dude, you know,
you couldn't have closed it with a better song. I agree.
Yeah, man. I think it's my favorite song on the album. It's an absolute rocker. Rob sounds amazing. And I'm going to say this, like, okay, there's a part in that song where he kind of reminds me a little bit of old Sebastian Bach from Skid Row. the vocals do. I don't know if you caught that or not. Like, it's weird how he's kind of a chameleon. Sometimes he sounds like different people. Obviously, they're sounding like him because he was before them, and
that's why he's a god.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure Sebastian probably listened to him singing and was like, I need to emulate that, you know. So, but it definitely is there. The riffs are excellent. Guitar solo is fantastic. Love the tone of the guitarists and this stuff. It's fantastic. Nasty. Rhythm section's crushing it. I think it is perfection, man. I think it closed on a 10, personally. I love this song. I think it's the best on the album.
That's awesome.
It's definitely my favorite song on the album.
I will be willing to
say this. And it's the one that got stuck in my head all week, too, man.
I can see Chris singing along to it. I was like, this song really stuck with him. I was like, you see him singing along.
All right, Anthony. Talk to us.
All week, man.
Devil's Child, Anthony.
I mean, it's another grooving tune with a nasty guitar to lead this one off. And after that, we're treated to another very tasty Judas Priest song. It's I like Rob's vocals, the harmonies, the killer chorus that sticks in your head. Band is just truly on point. This one works. It's a strong way to close out the album. And it's another song that's always been high on my playlist for them. It's a heavy metal jam is what I called it. It's a 9. It's outstanding, man. There's no debating that at all. I would not argue 10 either, man.
I'm pulling Anthony. It is outstanding. I'm going to move mine to 9. It's an outstanding song. It's an outstanding way to close an album, too. I'm changing mine literally right now because it is a 9.
Give it a 28, right? Is that right?
Right. Holy smoked, what a great album. Jeez Louise, guys. All right, so closing this thing out, first of all, Anthony, fantastic pick. It is the first Judas Priest cassette I ever owned. So, I mean, it absolutely took me back to being that 10-year-old kid. And, you know, I don't know if you realize this or not, during the United States tour, Priest was touring with, you know, a couple of well-known bands, namely Iron Maiden on the Number of Beasts tour. So,
oh, God, imagine seeing
and Maiden, I know, dude.
Halford and Dickinson Priest. In their prime back. Oh, God.
You know, it's when you think about that fact alone, it just makes you make my mind explode. I'm like, holy crap, this is just absolutely fantastic. I will say this, you know, this is 1982. This is Priest getting their big kick in the United States because they toured the United States for a year and a half on this record. And that's something huge for bands of this era, because typically a band in this area was trying to get in and out of the studio, release an album about every year, even up until this point. And, you know, they did so pretty religiously throughout their career. But from the start of this record, the Hellion, the intro to Electric Eye, I mean, it just simply grabs you and it makes you want to listen to this entire record in its full capacity. There are albums that will stand the test of time. This is absolutely one of those. If you're a fan of hard rock, 70s rock, 80s rock, hair metal, whatever it may be, I think this one should be a staple in your diet. My overall rating did come out to be a 7.7, which I felt like maybe just a hair low, but I'm okay with that. This is going to round up to an 8. And, you know, whether you give it a 7.5 or an 8, it doesn't matter. This one is certainly going to be highly recommended on my listening list for folks. And I don't even know, man. I mean, the more I listen to it the past couple of weeks, and I probably listened to it, I don't know, easily a half a dozen times. And it just brought back me in my bedroom on one of those little rectangular shaped cassette players that had the 1 4-inch speaker and 3-inch speaker, whatever it was. And you just hit play. And I remember doing that. There was many albums or many cassettes that I did that to. This is one of the ones that just takes me back to those days. You know, your mom taking you to the record bar or the – heck, for that matter, I think we got this at Roses of all places, but, you know, it's just the way it was back in the 80s. Yeah, I loved it. Final thought was absolutely highly recommended. I'm actually going to bump mine to an 8 because I do think it is absolutely worthy of being called an excellent album. Chris, final thoughts.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I really wanted to bash this album this week with Anthony picked it and kind of half-assed his last review, and I was like, I just wanted to throw it back at him.
you knew when you picked Matchbox 20, it was a crapshoot for me.
I did. I wanted to come and say, I just gave it one listen. It's all right, but no.
You knew it was a crapshoot. It's too good, man. You know how I feel about a lot of 90s music, so you knew that was a crapshoot for me.
Yes, I did. Anyway, it's a really good album. I have to say, like I mentioned before, but I just didn't know this coming in. Other than, you know, you've got another thing coming, but man, there are some standouts on this for me. Devil's Child, just, that's probably going on a playlist for me where I'll, you know, that stays in rotation. Electric Eye was a tremendous way to open this album. I really like that Pain and Pleasure song. I know Jimmy didn't care for it much. I'm kind of surprised that wasn't a concert staple for them, because I could just see, it seems like that's such a great groove to it.
Especially doing that Pain, right when the lights flash and your whole
crowd. Yeah, yeah.
Awesome,
nah,
man.
I don't know. But, you know, you got Halford, who's just one of the top-notch vocalists of all time in metal. I don't think anybody can debate that. I mean, that's a fact.
Agreed.
The thing that kind of stood out to me, well, two things, was all the way the rhythm section is so prominent on this album. They really do a great job. And the guitar tones, man. Like, I love the tone of the guitars on these guys. Great solos, too. But, I mean, sometimes, like, when there's certain guitar tones that just pop off the track, and for this thing to be from 1982, and for it to stand out that much to me says something, because usually production value is not great on a 1982 album, if I'm being honest. And here they were out in Spain recording this thing, you know, hammered half the time, it sounds like. I don't know, man. It's amazing that they pumped out something this good. Yeah, my overall was 8.2 when I tallied it up.
Wow.
And I stick with that. This is a solid album, man. It really is.
Fantastic. Anthony, what are your final thoughts?
Mine came out to be 8.7, and I'm going to round it up to a 9. It's an outstanding album from start to finish. I'm glad I picked it. One of the biggest metal albums of all time. I mean, an album that still holds up to this very day. I can't recommend it enough. This one works from start to finish. I mean, if you were getting people into metal, I think you would definitely throw this album on as one of those albums that you would, of maybe 30 that you would pick. I think this would definitely be in there somewhere to listen to this if you want to get into some good heavy metal, you know. So I give it a 9, man. I think it's outstanding from start to finish. So
fantastic, man. That's awesome. That is absolutely awesome. All right, guys. So I guess I've got a pick.
Play the tune. I don't know.
Oh, God.
And in this corner, weighing in at approximately 200 pounds, is the master of metal, the guru of guitar, and a lover of all things harmonica. He's our fearless leader. It's Jimmy with his pick of the week.
Oh boy. So guys, I didn't really want to keep it super duper hard rock or metal this week, because I wanted to change it up a little bit, because Anthony picked one that's effing stellar and I can't really top it. So I will say this. I'm going to throw out some numbers to y'all. You guys tell me what you think. I've got one from 1980, one from 1977, and one from 1976. Two out of the three are absolutely well-known records, and the third one is a well-known record to the fan of this band. What do you guys think? I mean, I know it sounds cheesy, but I'm open to all three. These are all on my list to do over the past few years.
Let's weed out the one that's not known.
All right. So the one that I was going to say, 1976 is the one that's not known, not as famous.
Let's do 77. What do you think, Anthony? Does it work for you?
Oh, Star Wars year.
77?
So 77.
Yeah,
all right, boys. Fleetwood Mac Rumors.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we did that in a previous life, didn't we, if I'm not mistaken?
We did,
and I wanted to return to it. Yeah, I wanted to return to this one. I think it's a great, great record to go back through. And,
yeah,
you know, back in those days, what was that, like 7 years ago, 8 years ago?
Something like that. Back in
it was a long time ago.
Our YouTube
I think it was like
days.
15. It was, yeah.
What were the other two, Jimmy? Can you tell us?
The 76 was Aerosmith's Rocks. And
oh, wow.
The 1980 was REO Speedwagon High Infidelity.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been good, too. Okay.
Yeah, so
I might do a little Speedwagon. I haven't listened to a lot of their Beyond Their Greatest Hits kind of stuff, so it'd be interesting.
Same.
It's a solid album. But, yeah, no, I kind of wanted to get this one out. You know, and I'll be honest with y'all, thinking about my mom the past few weeks and how big a fan she was of them, I actually been listening to a little Fleetwood Mac in the past, I guess, past few weeks now, and just, you know, throwing it on there. So I was like, you know what? This is from my mom, so I'm going to do Fleetwood Mac.
Sounds like a plan, man.
All right, Anthony, what you got going on this week, man?
Like I said, Songlines and Tan Lines is taking a break for the summer.
On par for the course right now, ain't you?
Taking the summer. Last year, I took a summer break, too, but I managed to get stuff set before. That dropped out this year. I didn't feel like it. I'm too tired. But I do. I got some recommendations here that you may want to watch some good movies. If you got Showtime or get Paramount Plus with $2 added on Showtime, like I did, Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Highly recommend that movie. It is not a slasher movie. It's a movie that when you see the final twist, you'll laugh your butt off and you'll realize how ridiculous things got because of this final twist. That's all I'm saying.
That's awesome, dude.
I highly, highly recommend that movie if you want a good movie to watch this weekend. I watched Renfield. It popped up on Peacock. I've got Peacock now, too. So Renfield with Nick Cage as Dracula and a lot of other stuff. Highly recommend that one.
Is that comedy?
Yeah, I was gonna say, is that a comedy?
I've seen it
got some comedy in it, but the it's got a lot more violence and gore. I mean, there's like a geyser of gore one time. He like jumps on somebody, and you just see this fountain of gore come up in the air. It's ridiculous. Not Nicolas Cage. Awesome. Nicolas Cage doesn't get as much screen time. He's kind of more subtle in this one. It's Renfield who really takes the stage, but. Recommend that one. And I took Nate to his first movie. We got to see Across the Spider-Verse over the last week. Okay. So that was good. I like the first one a little better. This one's a little more complicated, so it needs a few more viewings. But the first one I do like better. But this was really a good experience. So put those three out there. Awesome. If y'all need something to do on a lazy summer afternoon, check them out. Get you a free trial to some of these and check them out. And look up The Flavor Graveyard from Ben and Jerry's. And I sent you guys a link to it. New England Legends podcast talked about that this week. And that is the craziest thing I've ever seen, where they actually, flavors that don't work for Ben and Jerry's, they actually physically have headstones erected in a graveyard and listed of what they were and why they didn't work and the flavors. Like one was popcorn and peanut butter or something crazy like that.
Oh, God.
But there was a few on there, like the Irish mudslide and creme brulee that should have worked, but I don't know. But anyways, check out New England Legends. Check out the website for Ben and Jerry. I promise you, that's not like a 20-minute episode. It's not very long. It's one thing I love about their podcast. They know how to get in and get out without breaking the bank. So anyway, and we got in and got out without breaking the bank too today. We got in under an hour, so pretty impressed.
That's great.
It's not over. Y'all keep talking.
Yeah, I'm done.
I want to keep talking. How about I haven't recorded in about 2 or 3 weeks, so I am ready to just... go all over this thing, man. No, I'm just kidding.
That's hilarious. All right, for the Audible Ecstasy Podcast, this is Jimmy.
This is Chris.
This is Anthony.
And this is it.